Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, coming to you day after the Pelicans drop an easily winnable game at home, 99-94 to Atlanta. They are now winless in 2017, but it's just 0-2, so it's not the end of the world. Though this is a bad loss for the Pelicans. This one should sting. They shouldn't be happy about this. We shouldn't be happy after any loss, I guess. But, you know, this was an entirely winnable game, and they kind of just gave it away with really, really bad offense down the stretch. I want to say it's almost an opposite of what happened in the Cleveland game on Monday, but that game also had bad offense down the stretch, but the bad offense occurred in different ways. So it's a, I don't know, something. It's like a cousin of that game, maybe. They're related, but, you know, like slightly different, but you don't want to like marry them together or anything here. So going to recap that game for you. Also some news on the trade front before the game against Atlanta last night. It was announced that Kyle Korver was traded. So he didn't play in the game, which was good for the Pels. Another reason why they should have won this game. But it was announced that Korver was traded to the Cavaliers. Good spot for him. He's going to fit in nicely up there. Just a good 3-point shooter. Kind of getting him for very cheap, not a ton. I mean, he is going to be almost 36 and on an expiring deal, so it's not exactly like he's worth a ton of assets, but it's still a useful piece that's going to help LeBron definitely there. But the other rumors that came about were for Paul Millsap, and that's a guy that Pelicans fans, and I'm sure the Pelicans front office themselves have long wanted. So I want to talk about those rumors a little bit, say maybe why they should do it, why they shouldn't, and leave it up to you guys to make up your own mind there. But before we get to the trade rumors, and trust me, I know people love trade rumors, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about Millsap. We'll probably start talking more trade rumors as the season goes on. But we do need to talk about the 99-94 loss for the Pelicans. So to start the game, they came out really flat, really disjointed, turning the ball over constantly. It was a rough start to the game. But by the end of the first, they started to claw back in, eventually took a lead. They were actually up 28-23 at the end of the first after hitting shots. Holiday was on. Davis was quiet, and that has to do with Dwight Howard. And this is some of the reason small ball doesn't work at times when you've got a big, bulky, bruising center. All of the Bs. And so one of the issues there is Davis had trouble defending Howard. This is why they signed a guy like Donatas Moniunis. He's useful in those situations to take that big man. If you don't run Terrence Jones out there, you can't have Dante Cunningham or Solomon Hill guarding him. He'll just crush them. And he kind of crushed Anthony Davis a little bit. Davis picked up two early fouls, had to go to the bench. It took away his aggressiveness for the rest of the first half. He was too worried about getting a foul called on him, whether offensively or playing super hard and aggressive on defense, because he didn't want that third foul, with risk of a fourth foul to have to go to the bench and sit. It really took him out of his game. It was a smart game plan by the Hawks, if that's what they were trying to do, and I would assume they would. But it got Anthony Davis out of a rhythm he really didn't get back until the fourth quarter. I don't have the numbers on me. The NBA stats website for me is being a little bit buggy right now, so I can't pull the fourth quarter numbers here. But basically, he did most of his work in that fourth quarter. At one point, he had 10 points, 10 rebounds just in the fourth quarter alone. And Davis on the night finished with 20 points and 19 rebounds. So a lot of his work getting done in the fourth. And late in the fourth, he was beasting on the boards. He had gone to the bench a little bit before crunch time with 5 minutes left or so. I forget the exact time. He sat down after a timeout. head down, shoulders sunk in. It looked like the Pelicans were out of it. They were down 7. And then he came out and decided to try and be MVP Davis, where he was grabbing rebound after rebound. He cut through the lane, got a pass, got a absolutely monster, slam dunk there. And it was fantastic. But then the Pelicans kind of went away from him. At one point, Drew Holiday took a three-pointer. He missed. He had been perfect on the night before that. And then the wheels came off. Buddy Hield, instead of shooting threes, which is okay, he got to the rim. And got to the rim easily 2 times. But both times he was blocked. So while, yes, it's probably the correct basketball play, I don't think you're going to fault him for taking that and going after that. You still got to wonder if maybe you'd rather get the ball to Davis and run a play for him. And when the Pelicans do run a play for Davis out of a timeout, it's just kind of a loft to him in front of the basket while he's got Dwight Howard on his back. And he missed the shot because it wasn't a good look. It wasn't there. It wasn't any action to spring him open. It was just get him the ball down low with a weird entry pass and let him try and score over Dwight Howard in a post-up situation, which is not what you want Anthony Davis doing. Bad coaching right there. Bad execution. But the Pelicans went ice cold. They couldn't do anything late in the fourth quarter. And look, Buddy Hield needs to learn how to finish the rim. He's still a rookie. Add some strength. Get that bucket. Get the contact and the call. Go to the line. Stretch your lead or take the lead if need to. That's how they could have done this. Didn't happen. It's okay, I guess. But it's disappointing, especially with Korver not playing, someone shooting threes. It's one less threat for them. So on the night, notable Pelicans, Anthony Davis, of course, with his 20 and 19. 3 turnovers, 5 personal fouls. Not the best. Not really what you want out of him in some of those categories. Holiday finished with 18 points, 5 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers. Like I said, they really, I think at one point they had 10 turnovers in the first 15 minutes of the game. Not what you want. That's not going to keep you in there. At the end of the game, people were asking Alvin Gentry, saying, hey, what was the issue with finishing? Is that the problem with this team? And he goes, no, it's not the problem because we didn't come out and start like we wanted to. If we don't turn the ball over to start the game, we're not in this situation where we need to worry about it, which is a bit of a reverse way of thinking of it personally. But he's right to an extent. You can't come out sluggish. You're at home. You need to win this before they go on a 5-game road trip right now in 10 days. That's a lot. You got to get this one, get people excited. Saints season is over. You have a chance to jazz up the city of New Orleans to at least get to your games more, be more excited about the team. There's going to be more talk on the radio all around. But no, they go out and they lose. And again, it's a young team-ish. But more than that is they just don't have the people to do this. And, it's one of the reasons why they lose and why they can't finish these games. You have one horse. His name's Anthony Davis. You have kind of another one in Drew Holiday. But at times if you turn the ball over, he's not helping you. Tyreek Evans wasn't particularly effective at times. In the minutes he was playing, he played 12 minutes tonight, 2 turnovers, not what you want. You need more out of these guys. Buddy Hield did play well. Big thing was, again, his 3-point shot is going. He's kept that over. He's really, the best player on the Pelicans in December almost, not named Anthony Davis. And he's probably been the best player in January. He shot 4 of 9 from 3, scored 15 points total. Didn't get to the line like he had been. You got to wonder, though, like I said, he adds some bulk, can finish at the rim a little bit better. You start to get that contact and those calls, and then you should be good. Terrence Jones, who seems like he's probably going to be pushed out of the rotation with Monta Ellis coming in, did play well, 12 points. More than that, it was his defensive effort. He was good. He had a couple of blocks that were, 3 blocks, that's what it was, which were tremendous. One was on Dwight Howard, where Dwight should have been able to score. David Wesley on the telecast just couldn't believe it. How does Dwight Howard not score there? How does Terrence Jones manage to do that? Howard was in so close to the rim. No, Howard got it, Jones got it. He's a useful guy. He's not a savior. I know people were expecting a lot from him, but frankly, Monta Ellis probably signals the end for him at least for the time being, I'd say. I doubt you'll see them both continue get minutes at the same time since the Pelicans are going with that small ball. But we'll see if that happens. He'll still be a useful guy off the bench when you need a score here or there. But overall, I mean, his shot selection's been so bad for the Pelicans at times. It leaves a lot to be desired. But enough about depressing losses. Let's talk about fun things. Trade rumors, with the main one being Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks, especially with Korver being on the move. It seems like they're trying to blow that team up some, and this is a team that won 60 games a year ago, or a franchise that won 60 games a year ago. This was not the team that did that. They've kind of changed everything since then, too. But Paul Millsap, obviously a very, very good player. A guy you should love to have on the Pelicans. Didn't have a great game. Well, it was okay. Last night, he had an off shooting night a little bit, but did score 17 points. Also got to the line four times, grabbed 10 rebounds as well. So it goes to show what he could do well. He fits really well with Anthony Davis. He can still space the court. You've heard that a lot about Mata Yunus being able to space the court as a big. It's why they're going small ball with Dante Cunningham and Solomon Hill, because they can get into the corner and hit threes. But here, Paul Millsap's a legit shooter, a legit rebounder. He can kind of do everything well. He's very, very good. Here's the rub. It's on what you'd have to give up for him. And it was put out there, and I don't know who said it, so I can't attribute it, but I gladly would if I saw. Pelicans' future first-round pick in this coming draft, protected, probably top three or five protected. I would assume top three. The second-round pick they received in the Ish Smith deal last year with Philly, and salary filler, whatever they needed to, make it match. So probably some sort of expiring guys, who knows exactly. Potentially Evans would be going in that direction to make the salary match, which still wouldn't be that worse for the Pelicans. So you bring in Paul Millsap. And then the question is, so basically it's, would you give up the first round pick for him or not? The other stuff doesn't matter. Don't tell me that second round pick matters. Don't tell me even if they moved an expiring Evans that pick would matter. But you bring in Paul Millsap, so it's, would you trade the first for him or not? And frankly, you should. They're not going to build through the draft. It's not on Anthony Davis' timeline. Right now, he's going to be entering the prime of his career. He doesn't want to wait, or if you're the team, maybe he doesn't either. You don't want to put a guy who's going to take 3 years to develop around him. What good does that do? You're chasing playoffs right now. You know, he signed his extension, but does run out, and yeah, he can leave, even though the new CBA makes it less likely. He still could. He is very concerned about his legacy. He wants to win. And if he's not winning, yeah, he might just say, screw the money, let me go. It's still a lot of money he's going to be making. So, it's that situation. So, yeah, you should want to trade the first for Paul Millsap. Bring him in. The only concerns you have about it are he'll be 31. He's most likely going to be up for an extension this offseason or a new deal because he has a player option he can opt out. So do you want to give a 31-year-old a max contract? And you might say no to that, and that's valid. I think it would give me pause. But the problem is they're not going to get anyone better than him. They have no other way of getting anyone better than him. Yet you can say this is a loaded draft, and this is a good draft. And that's why you do the pick of top three protected. But at the same time, whoever you're going to draft isn't going to be better than Millsap for 4 or 5 years. So does keeping someone in this draft help you? And when they finally start to be better than him in 4 or 5 years, is Anthony Davis going to be here? That's the real question. You don't need to worry about re-signing Mata Yunus after this coming season, unless you can get him for really cheap, which most likely, if he plays well, they're not going to be. You max out Millsap, max out Holiday, keep developing Buddy Hield, and pair him with Anthony Davis. That's four decent players right there. That's three good players, or two good players and a superstar, and one young guy who's coming along. So, it should make you want to do this trade if the Pelicans do it. Now, the problem is with Millsap, there's a lot of other suitors out there. Denver's going to want him. Sacramento's going to want him. Probably Boston would probably like to bring him in, too, I would assume. Maybe one or two other teams. Basically, everyone the Pelicans are competing with for that eighth seed. You're going to need that. compete with them for that. But hey, the Pelicans could probably do it if they want to. If they're serious about chasing this eighth seed, get him. All of a sudden, you actually have a new core here with 3-4 guys. That's much better. Less minutes for Dante Cunningham or Solomon Hill, but it's more offense coming in. Millsap can be that small ball four. I think it would work well with Anthony Davis. Don't worry that they play the same position. That's stupid thinking. Just get the best players in here. And Millsap is certainly one. So it's going to be something we need to keep an eye on. Not something I want to dive into too much yet until these become a little bit more concrete. I wanted to put it out there for you guys, though. But there's potential for a move. And the Pelicans, most likely, I said this on the podcast weeks ago and probably months ago, too. They want to make a move. They got to trade that first-round pick. And again, a first-round pick doesn't help them next year that much. You brought in Buddy Hield. He's playing well. He's not helping them win a ton of games. You know, and you bring in someone younger who's less NBA ready, but maybe has a higher ceiling. Not going to help you win games right away. It doesn't do you much good. You got to get talent in here around Davis right now. Paul Millsap is talent. They can do this right now. It helps them win. Might keep Davis here longer. Only a good thing in my opinion. So that's going to be it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget, you can find the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found overall. So please subscribe to it. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty easy to remember. Been having a lot of fun doing this with you all. Hopefully the Pelicans do well on this upcoming 5-game road trip against the Eastern Conference. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't quite remember here, but it's Boston, New York, Indiana, the Bulls. There's one other game that I'm forgetting in there, but those are winnable games. They can do this, get right back into playoff contention. The good news is I think Denver lost tonight or last night, and Sacramento's, you know, still Sacramento. Pelicans are still in the playoff hunt. We'll see what other trade rumors develop. And if any are, probably break overnight, and there might be some. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, giving you the rundown on it all.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.